Last night, as I went to sleep, I found myself remembering what it felt like to go to sleep on Christmas Eve when I was a boy. I felt so happy. I knew that while I was sleeping, some amazing thing was going to happen all over the world. It was really so fantastic. And I say, of course, but that's because I think we all know exactly the same things, but I was happy because the miners in Chile were being brought up from the depths of the earth. It touched me so deeply, as it did so many millions of people, to know that men were buried alive and that human effort didn't want them to stay down there. I didn't want to give up. I wanted to save them. I wanted them to be with their children and their spouses. I wanted them to have their lives. That's not a small thing, to realize the true meaning of what is happening. And of course, probably you know, but you know by now, all of the men that were down there are free from that terrible situation. So they've been pulled up from death, which is what would have happened if the world hadn't decided to make this effort. So as I went to sleep last night, I felt I was sleeping in the grace of that situation. I could feel it. It wasn't just something that was happening for these men in Chile and for their families and for the nation of Chile. It was also happening for me. Because if they were going to be saved, that was happening in my life too. And of course we know that if it happens in their life, it happens in our life. And if it happens in our life, it happens in their life. So what we do and how we live matters very much. And then this morning, as if that wasn't good enough, I received an email from Grace Shireson, the woman who wrote the book Zen Women, with an announcement that she was going to send out through Shambhala Sun magazine to the Mahasangha all around the world, basically, announcing that the Soto Zen Buddhist Association had confirmed or affirmed and agreed to support the Women's Ancestors list that has been worked on by our Sangha and a few other Sanghas and by Grace in her work. And so it was announced to the world that these women, who are our mothers, have been brought up from deeper than a half a mile down. They've been brought up through 2,500 years of history. And now we're on the surface of the earth. And we have their names. And we know who they are, who the mothers of our Buddha Dharma are, or some of them, but a good start. And that from now on, people will know their names. And I was so happy. Of course, I was happy because I knew that our Sangha had made a significant contribution to that. And that because we did what we did, and our first women's, and the women's lineage paper we gave at Arjuka, it was the first one ever given in history. Anywhere in history. And that the association took on the project that we requested. And they did this. And 2 years later, now it will be available to everybody. And I felt like they too have been brought to life 2,500 years. It was so powerful. So these fathers and brothers and husbands and spouses and sons, you know, they were brought up from the earth. And our Buddhist mothers have been brought up through history on the same day, which just happens to be my nephew's birthday. And I wrote to him and said, you were born on a miraculous day. Simply because you were born. But by the way, some other things happened too. When I was thinking about it, I was thinking, why is it so important? You know, why do we care, really? Why do we want those miners to be back here? Or why do we want our Zen women ancestors' names to be known? Why does it matter to so many people? It's not like it seems to be happening to us, and yet something profound has happened. I think instinctively, most people know how precious life is. Instinctively, we know that life wants to live. That life wants to live completely and fully. When we say our four vows, the first vow, beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Why do we vow to save them? We vow to save them, but have you ever thought why? You know, a short version is we vow to save them because life wants to live. It's so simple. And we are life. And we want life to live. And we don't want it just to live in some ragtag way. We want it to live completely and fully and wholly according to its nature. We want life to live as life can live. The goodness that we saw with the people of Chile, and the goodness that we see by the effort of people to bring the names of the women ancestors to the surface of consciousness, to the surface of the earth. Forever, they will be known now. And until now, they were completely forgotten, or ignored, or suppressed. So that's a big difference. It's a huge difference. It's because life wants to live, and we want it to live in its wholeness. And so we say, beings are numberless, I vow to save them, because life wants to live. We say our second vow, delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to transform them. Why? Because we know that until delusions are transformed, life cannot fully live. And so we say it because life wants to live. And we say, Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. Why? Same reason. Because there is no place that does not need to be touched, that does not need to be freed or liberated, that does not need life to be brought to its fullness. And so we enter every Dharma gate. We don't turn away from a single one of them. No matter how uncomfortable it is, or painful it is, or difficult it is, no matter how much we wish it would go away, we have to enter every gate of the Dharma. For the very same reason I've been saying. And of course, the fourth vow, the Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to embody it. That's life itself, wanting to live. Dogen talked about it when he said, it is wisdom seeking wisdom. It's wisdom seeking wisdom. Ignorance is not seeking wisdom. Wisdom is seeking wisdom, and life is seeking life. And we can remember this. We would do well to remember that this is foundational for our practice. This is foundational for our lives. That life wants to live in its fullness and its wholeness and its completeness. When I think about the miners down there, 69 days before the rescue started to move toward its completion, I think about them for the first 17 days, not knowing if anybody knew that they were alive. Think about that. You're a half a mile into the earth and you don't know if anyone knows you're alive. Doesn't it terrify you? Just think of what that feels like. And they kept each other together. They kept each other sane. They kept each other alive. For the very reason that I'm discussing. Because this life is so precious. This is our Ungo period. This is our period of peaceful dwelling. Think about what it would be like to be one of those miners. And think about what would be required of you. And you will know what peaceful dwelling is. You will know what being inside the cocoon is in the way that I've been talking about it. They had to maintain quiet. They had to maintain a stillness of being. They had to not allow the terror to overtake them. They had to not allow all the shadow material in their psyche to get a hold of them, or they would be completely lost. They had to draw on a resource that each of us has. I doubt any one of these guys practices Zazen on Wednesday nights. But they know something, and we could learn from them. We could learn the importance of maintaining that still quality of being right in the midst of hell. And many of these men, when they came out, said it was hell. One of them, so movingly, said, "I sat down there with God and with the devil, but God is the one who picked me out." But it could have been the devil. You understand what he's saying? It could have been all the fear. But he didn't. He stayed with, okay, I'm right here now. I'm nowhere else but right here. I'm not going forward. I'm not going backwards. I'm here. That's a quality of being that I think we could learn quite a bit from, and that we should learn from. To stay with it no matter what happens. When I think about our peaceful dwelling within ourselves, just that. Just the practice of being with ourselves. Most of us have gone to hell at one time or another inside of our own psyches. Most of us have just been so desperate, so frightened, so terrified, so hurt, so wounded, so damaged, so hopeless, so filled with despair that we may at some moment have wanted to die. You know, wish we could, in fact. But we didn't. Something deeper than all of that darkness kept us where we are. Held us in that still moment. Held us in that quiet place. Maintained its own peace, is what I want to say. It maintained its own peace even without our participation. It did it, or without our conscious participation. When you, during this practice period of Ongo, when you are facing anything that starts to feel like it will overwhelm you, I'd like to ask you to honor the miners and just say, I'm going to be a miner now. I'm going to hold still. And I'm not going to let myself be buried alive by these emotions. I'm not going to let myself be buried alive by these impulses, by these fears, whatever they are. I'm going to hold still. I'm going to take a deep breath. And I'm going to be a Chilean miner right now. Why? Because life wants to live. because we want to have our lives full and whole. It is not a matter of staring down the darkness. It is a matter of sitting in the middle of it and not letting it swallow you. That's what those men did. And that's what their girlfriends and mothers and spouses and children did up on the surface of the earth. They too had to deal with the worst fears. It wasn't just the miners. Everybody was dealing with the same stuff. Except the guys were not sure they were going to get up. Do you think you can do it? I think you can do it. Let yourself do it. And let yourself experience that. We can have it be like a Chilean Miner Day or something like that. The reason it's important is obvious, but there's another reason it's important. When we do it, we are actually pulling those women ancestors up with us. We're actually bringing them up to the surface of the earth and saying, live with me. Live here with me. I want to live with you. We're pulling the miners up and we're pulling ourselves up simply by refusing to be taken down. And that's inside the cocoon. And that is peaceful dwelling. Those men are heroes, they say. But in a way, what's most heroic about them is that they showed us what ordinary people are. They're just ordinary people, mm-hmm. You know, just like us.
Doing extraordinary things.
Doing extraordinary things. And we should know that about ourselves. The Buddha was just another guy. These guys are just other guys. Their spouses and children are just other people. And yet, look at what we are. It's so fantastic. Remember when we were kids, they always say, why can't every day be Christmas? Do you remember that phrase, that question? Every day is Christmas. If we let it be. So I want to encourage you, as you practice, during this practice period, to remember that we're in the middle of some amazing business right now. And we're part of it. And we can enjoy it. And we can appreciate it. And we can celebrate it. We can use it. And by doing so, we will be offering it to the world. And that is just the greatest gift.